Okay, hopefully this will work. All right, we're both side. You stop going through it for yourself.
That's good. Interesting.
It's a fine line. Okay, let's go. This is just a line out of the Gemara. It shouldn't be a chiddush. If she did try to have sakara, but she didn't succeed, and it was tmeya, and then 3 or 4 days later she did another bdika and discovered she was tahora, she tipped up gitara. Then we assume she was still tmeya until she got a good hefsekara, which is obvious. Just because you didn't notice any bleeding doesn't mean you could start your shemini until you get a clean hefsekara. So she's never allowed to count Shemini Kiyam until she has a clean Hefsek Tara, she knows she stopped. And then the day, the halachic day after the clean Hefsek Tara counts as the first day of Shemini Kiyam. Okay, Vav is, we discussed quantity of bdikos. Vav is about quality of bdikos. And the Gemara says very little about quality of bdikos, but the Rishonim bring up two issues. Number one is what's called chorin ustakin. Chorin ustakin, all the cracks and crevices. Okay, I was supposed to bring in a picture book, but inside in the vaginal canal, there's a lot of cracks and crevices. Why are there a lot of cracks and crevices? Because, I mean, just imagine like an accordion. I mean, it's 90 degrees off. Basically, it has to stretch big enough for a baby to come out at some point. So you imagine there might be a lot of folds, so can accordion open, and for all kinds of reasons, there's a lot of cracks and crevices involved. So do you have to check all the cracks and crevices or not? So the Gemara in one place discusses cracks and crevices. And the Gemara says that remember the old days for the summary shonen, although we don't follow them in the end, even nowadays, you have to do a bdika before Tashmish. And the Gemara says, for Taro's purposes, we don't rely on the Bedika before Tashmish. Why? Because she's Mahuma Labesa. She is in a rush. She's hopefully has a nice, healthy marriage. So she is eager to be Mishamish with her husband. So she might do it too quickly and cut corners and not do it properly. And she wouldn't be bolding in the Chorin Ustakin. So there we have, there's a likoy. There's a flaw. There's a flaw in her pre-Tashmish Bedika because she doesn't check the Chorin Ustakin. And that's why we don't rely on it for Taro's purposes. Now, the question is, what do we make of this? Says the Ravid. He says, from here we see that Chorin Ustakin are necessary for Taro's because we don't rely on that pre-Tashmish because it didn't have Chorin Ustakin. But for Bala, remember, Taro's is always more macular than Bala. We questioned that once, but that's the mainstream. For Bala, she doesn't need Chorin Ustakin, because look at the Gemara says. She could do without Chorin Ustakin to be mutter to her husband, just doesn't count for Taro's that Chorin Ustakin. Now, again, the Rav is assuming that it's like we're saying L'chachila she didn't do Chorin Ustakin, right? And that applies to all the Bikos Labala. The Rav is making a bunch of assumptions. But given the Rav's assumption, you don't need it to be 30 degrees America's 30 degrees is very high. The right that assumes that what this means is that l'chachila you don't need Chorin Ustakin for Bala. So how about Chorin Ustakin? Says the Ravid, Einot Tzricha leBala. However, most of Rishonim disagreed. No, that just means she might mess up, but you really need Chorin Ustakin. You really need Chorin Ustakin. And then if she messes up, it's no big deal. Just checking before Tashmish is like it's good to do, chachila, but Chorin Ustakin is ma'akim. If you absolutely need the bdika, like a hefsek tara or shemini kiyam, which are ma'akim b'dieved, at least a certain number of them, then Chorin Ustakin is ma'akim. And that is many we showed in Budapest Yosef quote. He quoted the Rosh and the Smag and the Rashba, who says she did need Chorin Ustakin. And the Ramban made a compromise. The Ramban made a compromise. He says, after all, that case of the Ra'ivid is when she was Becheskes Tara, right? She's about to be shamed for the husband. Obviously, she's Becheskes not bleeding. Not the same as when she's Becheskes bleeding. So says the Ramban, he makes up Shura, and he says, only the Hefzik Tara. Hefzik Tara, she's Becheskes bleeding. She has to change her Chazaka. She's Becheskes what they call Mayon Patuach, an open spring. Right, the spring is a muscle, a metaphor for the dam nida. So then it's by that. Then you need charnu sakin, but for the shivan akiyam, then it's not such a big deal. After all, she already stopped leaving in the hefsek tara. So that's his compromise. Let's see how we. That's one issue in the rishonim. Let's see how we paskin. Kol bedikos. Called Bedikos Ha'elu. Called Bedikos Ha'elu. Bein Bedikos Ha'elu. Tarbim Bedikos called Shiva. Tzichalios. How do you do the Bedikos? So he starts with the discussion of what kind of cloth to use, which the Beis Yosef had an arichos about, but it really seems to be Pashtun Shabbos. Everyone agrees. They're just giving different examples. So Tzichalios Bebeget Pishtan Lavan Yashan, an old linen white cloth. White is very important, otherwise you're not going to catch what it is. The old linen is to be soft, because it has to be soft, otherwise you won't be able to do a proper bdika. Al betzemer gefen, or cotton, al betzemer lavan, naki varach, or white wool that is very clean and very soft. Okay, we use cotton nowadays, that's what we use for most things nowadays, but none of this is halacha which we see now. It just means there are two requirements, white, so you'll notice if there's any blood, and soft, so you'll be able to do a bedika. Otherwise, if it's not soft, A, it'll be too hard to do. And even if you do it, you'll scratch yourself and then find blood, and that will ruin the whole purpose of the bedika. Okay, next. V'tachnisena ba'otzomakam ba'omek l'chor nustaka. And you have to push it in deeply in all the cracks and crevices. In all the cracks and crevices, you have to check chor nustaka. Let me skip for a second to the end of the Rama, says the Rama, you be the Evan and Lo'asa King Klau, Raksha Budgots, Mayafa Bechorinu Stuckin, etc. Sakila. Be the Evan, as long as you did Chorinu Stuckin, that is good enough. What does that mean? Chorinu Stuckin is a Chiva and is even Ma'akid be the Evan. We pass in even be the Evan, like the probably the majority, we showed at least in this scheme. Again, you can probably count some more if you work very hard. But we pass in that b'nei chorinu stakin u'me'akid b'di evet, not just b'chachila even b'di evet, that seems to be the majority opinion. You need chorinu stakin. Otherwise, if you don't do chorinu stakin, and what's the big raya for this? Because the Gemara has two words for checking. One is bedika, the other is kinuach. And the Gemara says explicitly, bedika is longer than kinuach. Right, because when you have that weird case of three women who found the kesem and you don't know who it's from, and they have to check right away to see who it's from, said they only have time for kinuach, not for bedika. So obviously, bedika is something more in depth than kinuach. So therefore, misvara bedika needs chor nusakin. Okay, so therefore, we have many rais that bedika needs chor nusakin. So we assume even bedi'evet. Is there any room to be makel whatsoever? So in the pischei tshuva, sevkat and test quotes in the Nod Yehuda, and you know, if you look up the Rabbi Yehuda inside, like some of the subtle details might not be, summarized, 100% accurately in the Pesach Tshuva. Also, there are different yourselves in the Pesach Tshuva. But what the Rabbi Yehuda basically says, he says some women have a lot of trouble with bedikos. Some women have a lot of trouble doing bedikos. Often these are also women who have some trouble with tashmish. Meaning, whatever they have, sensitivity, etc. It could be psychological, but more likely physical, at least when it comes to the bedikos. It's always a combination of both. But some women just physically they're very, very sensitive. It's very hard. What if it's very hard for women to do the bedika? So, is there any room to be makel in a big shas harchak? So says the Nod of Yehuda here. Herich lo chiyach das harbi poskim hakel b'dika elish lam lo liba lo hakel gamri kim sheis gandan harbi poskim achmirim ach mashakas v'ashochanor because of the bazen nir lo hakel v'lismoch al ramban nir lo hakel v'lismoch al ramban. Here again, it's it's written a little funny. It sounds like he's talking about a Machash Hashamish Dash, which we haven't even mentioned yet, but the Ramban is about Kornu Stockin. If you look inside, he's about Kornu Stockin. And he says he basically wants to prove that the Rif and Rambam hold like the Ravid. Again, the Rif and Rambam, a lot of people make a lot of arguments from silence, and it's a little hard to tell, especially things like this. Anyway, he wants to find room to make all the rack, but because I'll have to say Tara Tsuch of the Kornu Stockin. Well, sharp because will she reach on Dive Dika Kala? Right? He says maybe only the Hepsakara, like the Ramban. And then he adds, they're doing yourselves convincing too. He looks and says, and especially if you do a Hepsakara, maybe you can count that. If you hold by the Laila, just take it out of the Laila. But that was an additional thing. So in a big Shasakak, there is this Nodi Yehuda who seems to rely on the Ramban. Lemaisa, it's a big finish, this Nodi Yehuda. To say you'll rely on Chorinu Stockin only on Hefsek Tara and one Bedika, that's not so hard. Because where most of you showed one Bedika is enough. Anyways, you don't want 1 in 7. Just do Chorinu Stockin, Hefsek Tara and 1. Or just do Hefsek Tara and 7 or whatever. That's easier to be Mako. But to say only Hefsek Tara, the Nodi Yehuda really seems to be Mako, like the Ramban. That's a big, big finish. I've never heard of someone relying on this, but it's out there theoretically. Again, by Hefsek Tara and just relying on the right, that he's not comfortable. But it is definitely out there. There is this finish out there of the Nodi Yehuda. I've never heard of anyone relying on it. Why? Because usually if you can do Chorin Ristachin once for Hefsek Tara, you can do it twice, and then you don't have to rely on the Ramban. Just went to everyone. Worst comes to worst, everything was possible but Hefsek Tara and one Bedika. And remember, the Iker Hadin is that one Bedika and Shimon Kim is enough, like Rav, not like Rabbi Hanina. So therefore, but says the Nodi Yehuda, Samach Allah, Bishas HaMetah, Betzarach Ion, we'll leave Betzarach Ion, it's a big Chumrah, it's a big Kula, I mean. Again, to say only Bedika, Hefsek Tara, and they wanted Shimon Kiyam, that's reasonable. But to say, whenever you have no choice, we have no choice whatsoever, we can do that. But to say that, and then you also have to say, maybe they wanted Shimon Kiyam is good enough, maybe they wanted day 7, maybe you don't record a stock like the right. So then that's easier. To say like the Nabi Huda, it's Sarish, and I've never seen a post like that I'm post with, passing that. Rely on this Lamaisa, but it is a Nodi Yehuda. And theoretically, it would have its buckle. Okay, second issue. Chorin and Stockin comes up in the Gemara. We're twice. Once in the discussion of Mahuma Lebesa, right? Why we say aren't comfortable relying on our pre-Tash B'Dika. Yeah. And secondly, it comes up in the Gemara in when the Gemara says, "Oh, Bedika and Kinoach are two different things," so obviously Bedika must be Chorin Ristachin. That's what differentiates from Kinoach. Then there's something which is only "quote unquote" made up by Rishonim. I don't mean made up by Rishonim. I mean they just think we svara. This is good. This is so obvious. It goes without saying. But what do the Rush and others say that you need on Makom Shashamish Dosh? Shamish is metaphor, the euphemism for the man's Ivar Tashmish. Dash, threshing, is many places, I'm sure we're familiar with the Chazal, is a euphemism for the penetration of intercourse. So meaning, as far as the man's Ivar goes, she needs to go in with her finger to do the Dika all the way as far as the Ivar goes. Now here, it's a little... Okay, there's a lot of mysteries about this. Like, where do they get as far as the Aver goes? Like, the Hechi tastes exactly as far as the Aver goes. How do they know what's bigger, a finger or an Aver? Obviously, it's only going to work if the finger's as big as the Aver. So, I don't know. I'm sure on the internet we can find out the average Aver and the average finger. But my guess is Lavdavka. But somehow they have this idea, Ad Makom Shashamish Dash. And says the Trumas Hadeshit already about this. He says, but I heard that that's really not possible. Or at least if you do it, you'll end up cutting yourself. And Beisiel said also, it's a funny kind of thing. Usually you have halacha. One Rishon says it's chayav, the other Rishon says mutter, aser. Here it's like, machlokes whether you're chayav or whether it's impossible. Okay, maybe they don't literally mean impossible, but this is a very, very confusing thing. What is this? Admokim shashamish dash, where does it come from? And it's a funny machlokes because it says the rush, etc., you have to do it, says the Tremuzadesh and Beis Yosef, it's practically impossible. And then he makes a compromise. So let's see whether you need admokim shashamish dash. Admokim shashamish dash. Says the Rush and the Hagahos, Maimonios, and the Rabbi Yerucham. Reish Yabav is the way the post can read Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham was a Talmud of Rush. She usually passed like Rush, no big Kiddush. They say she needs to go at Makim Shashamash Dash. And the Trumas Hadeshin and the Beis Yosef say that it's difficult to go at Makim Shashamash Dash. So what do we do? Let's see. We can look at Beis Yosef. We can also look at the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber. Going to start again and read quickly till we get to this part. Called Bdikos Eilbim, Bdikos Hefsekar, Bdikos Kol Shiva Tzrichel Yos Beged Pishkan Lavan Yoshan Oben Tamer Gefim Sonen Lavan Naki Farach V'Tachy Sinem Also Makom Omen Chorim Nistakim Ad Makom Shashamish Das. Okay, you have to do it. V'Tirem Yesh Bo Shamarit Mumis, and then obviously look after if it has any red on it. The lo shetachti sinem at lekneichatzma. Don't only put in a little to wipe yourself. It's very hard to put it in so deep. Lefachos b'gishol yom seitar b'gishelom rishon me'ashiveti an mokshar shamish dash. If it's too hard, at least do twice at mokshar shamish dash. Yom rishon and hefzik para. Yom rishon and hefzik para. Because after all, that's good enough according to Rav, and we can rely on Rav in something like this. You know, because maybe you need it, maybe you don't. And even if you need it, according to Rav, day one is good enough without day seven. Says the Ramah, the Imlo Asa came digas yom rishon, tasa pamachas came digas shari yamin. And if she didn't do it on day one, do it on a different day. Because remember, most rishonim say, according to Rav, any day is good enough. Now, it's not so clear in the Mechaber. It sounds a little like that might be ma'akib b'di'evet. He doesn't say explicitly, is it ma'akib b'di'evet hefzikar in one day? He doesn't say, right? But what's the compromise? What's the compromise? What is the pshara? Says the mechaber tzricha ulefachos hefzik para plus bedika achas. However, says the Ramah, he adds, says the Ramah, again, the mechaber is not 100% clear. But the Ramah is 100% clear, and that's good enough for us. She didn't do it at all. She just checked herself as much as she can. Very well. Even if she can get all the way in Shashamash Dash, it's good enough.
Meaning,
B'di Evin,
you have to do it twice.
Right?
You remember, the implication that the Evin Chol Nishtokin is ma'aki, but how deep you go is not ma'aki.
And here, it's still a little funny what this means to us, because B'di Evin, if she just went K'vi Koch as much as she could, it's good enough. That makes it sound like L'chachila, she's doing more than she can. But B'di Evin, she just did whatever she could, that's good enough, which is a funny thing. And therefore, the way the post can understand the Ramah, you can't read in Gemshuto. Lechachila, do more than you can. Bidi Eved, if you do what you can, that's good enough. That can't be what he means. So what must he mean? He must mean, do what you can. If you can get to Shamash Dash, wonderful, Lechachila. And if you did what you can, you can't get to Shamash Dash, that's also okay. So really, what turns out in the Ramah is that Halacha L'maisa, there's no difference in Lechachila and Bidi Eved. Theoretically, there is. Lechachila, go at Makum Shamash Dash. Bidi Eved is not Ma'aki. But really, the whole thing is funny to me. The whole thing is funny to me because how is one supposed to know if she got a Makom Shashamash Dash?
She knew that she could and then went to Omek, but not that far.
If she didn't do as much as she could, then that's Ma'aki. But what
about Ma'aki or Bidi Evin? She went to Omek, but not Makom Shashamash Dash. She knew that. Then
if she knows she didn't get Shamash Dash, as long as she did what she could, it's good enough. Let me read to you from the Shevet Alevi here.
No.
Let me read to you this, and then you'll ask your question. 1 second. Did I lose my place? Um, I'm just finding the right place to start reading from. What does he start saying? He started saying, after all, this is a great Torah quote. How about a besula? She obviously ain't going mocking Shashan with Dash because the besula block her, and still it's okay. And then he thinks sometimes you're embarrassed. You can't go, okay, not sure if I agree with that science, but whatever. Basically what he says is that basically you just have to do what you can. Right? Basically, halachal ma'aseh, what do we say? We say just do what you can. Halachal ma'aseh, we basically just say do what you can. That's enough for chachila. How are we going to ask you to do more than you can? Again, theoretically, I guess you can come up with some machine, whatever, but obviously it's not what we're asking you. V'chachila, we don't ask you more than you can, and b'di'evet, we don't suffice with less than you can, because it says kifi kocha. Kifi kocha. Now, here's where it's tricky. What is the definition of as much as you can? Right? So what's the definition of as much as you can? What does can mean? Let's assume it means reasonably can, making a serious effort. So, halacha l'maisa, you basically just do what you can. That's l'chachilo, that's the b'di'eved, that's the halacha. And that's good enough. That's the halacha l'maisa, you just do what you can.
The in-between of, meaning, let's say you had a woman who knew that she could do it on Markham Shashamishtah, she's done it before, and then she does a bedika that's, but Omeg, it's more than a kinoa for sure, but a little bit less than Markham Shashamishtah, where we would say that's ma'akev even, bidyebe, it doesn't count. There is like an in-between.
Yeah, look, when we that's all about Lachash Sharis, it doesn't mean that if you're a nervous type, then you'll think nothing ever counts, because maybe you could have gone further. No, it means that you do like a real bedika. Obviously, we don't mean every millimeter. You know what I mean? Seder Goda, like a serious bedika. Obviously, every time you could have pushed a little further, that's not what we mean. We mean that you don't like, you don't shortchange the bedika. So halakha l'maaseh, you just do what you can. Now, before we go weiter, I want to deal with two questions that were brought up by the modern day poskim. So you have to do what you can. What if a woman says, it's very hard for me to even do what I can. It's hard for me to do bedikos. Okay, so if the big shas adchak, then we'll say, so don't do all the bedikos, right? Just do heflitara day one and day seven. Just do as far as you can heflitara day one and day seven. And the rest of the days, just do a partial bedika. Or even, rely on the Ravid and, don't do a full bedika every day, but just do a full bedika on Hefsetara day one. What if a woman says, but it's very hard to get the cloth in there the way it is? Can you do anything to make it easier to get the cloth in? And this is debated two ways in the two cases are debated in the postgame. One is the famous discussion of the Maharsham. I didn't bring the Maharsham, but the Darkei Tshuva here, the Darkei Tshuva, the first one, Katra Rebbe, he was like the first Bnei Shulchan. He just, on the bottom of Shulchan, brought everything, except 100 years ago. And the Darkei Tshuva here, Nun Zayin quotes from the Shut Maharsham, who says, what if it's very hard for her? Can she wet the Bedika cloth? So he says, you can wet it a little. We're afraid maybe it will wash away the blood and not catch it. Says, no, if you just wet it a little, or you wet it and wring it out, if it's a little wet, then he's so make that it'll catch any blood, and that's okay. That's certainly not chachila, but in a shas hadcha, where a woman couldn't do a bedika with a dry cloth, it's too hard, then she can wet the cloth. What's really controversial nowadays is, can she put a Vaseline lubricant on the cloth? That's even better than wetting it to make it easier to do a bedika. Can you put Vaseline on the cloth. So that is super duper controversial. The body of Shulchan says no way. There are two places in the post and we see a heter. It's only because I want to come back to it. The Shutbear Moshe, of Rav Moshe Stern from, I discovered trying to punch this up in the very long, there are two different Shutbear Moshes. The other one's not from Brooklyn. So there's a Rav Moshe Stern from Brooklyn, the brother of the B'Tzela Chachma, B'Tzela Stern from Australia. The says Rav Moshe Stern, the Debertina Rav. I think he still has Ashgacha.
Is the Debertina Rav?
Yeah, the Debertina Rav. The Bear Moshe, Rav Moshe Stern from Barbara, the Debertina Rav.
Since I started learning from Masada of Cook's Farm.
And from YU.
Yeah.
There's a Chuba and Tawa, you did too.
Okay, so forget it. anyway, he says that if she's really stuck, and even, you know, this is like her Moshe style, you know, he says, can she use Vaseline? Because if not, she might get infection. Etc. He says that what she can do is put Vaseline on her skin, but also makom, you know, 10 hours beforehand, and then do the bdika. Or if she's stuck 2 hours or 1 hour beforehand, but then it'll mostly seep in, it'll just have a little effect, and it won't ruin the bdika. So that's his kula. The one who's more makom than that is the Shevet HaLevi. Says the Shevet HaLevi, he says, this is a big kula. As a matter of fact, it's not true, but it's a big kula. Hey, near lahakel and rachma at no old mishchas vaseline ba'osama. Oh no, he says the same thing. Sorry, I must have seen him misquoted someplace. He says the same thing. He just says the exact same as the Rav Moshe. I don't know why someone quoted him as real regular. What? Esif cotton ches at the end, very end. Near lahakel and rachma at no old mishchas vaseline ba'osama. Kishasha time koded dika deshi safed. He must have gotten it from the Rav Moshe, because it's mamish. The words are the same. Or the barrel she got it from him, or maybe they both heard it from someone, who knows? Anyway, okay, Shnei Nevi'im Nistav, send an Ephod, I'll be Shnei Nevi'im Yochum Dover, a Kula to put a little Vaseline, but also Makom an hour or two beforehand, and maybe it'll help a little. The bigger Kula is, which I saw someone quoted in the Shevet HaLevi, but it's apparently not in the Shevet HaLevi, and this, I wish I could agree with this Kula. Is to put Vaseline on the bdika cloth. Why do I wish I could agree with this kula? So it would just make people's lives a lot easier sometimes. Again, I don't have to say everyone. I mean, say, but still, if it's one out of every 100 people, one of every 100 women has this problem, I would love to solve this problem. So, to put Vaseline on the bdika cloth, and then do the bdika, and then it'll go in very easily, because it's the lubrication, the same way you lubricate any machine, etc. It works. The only problem is that the Bnei Shulchan says, no, because the Vaseline will absorb the blood and take away its color, and even if there's blood, it'll disappear into the Vaseline. And in Machon Kua, they actually did an experiment. I was hoping to do an experiment this year today, but things have been too crazy recently, so I wasn't organized enough. But if you remind me, we'll do one next week and see if they're right. But in Machon Kua, they said they did an experiment. They're very scientific there. And they actually wiped up blood with a cloth with a little Vaseline on it, and the blood disappeared. They wiped up the blood, they put the blood, they wiped it up, and it was gone. So it's very hard to rely on that bdika if scientifically we've proven. Here, the Bnei Shulchan, if he's scientifically right, you have to agree with him. Because the whole point of the bdika is to see if there's blood. If the blood's going to disappear and get absorbed in the Vaseline and not be visible anymore, it is invisible. What? For an hour or two beforehand, the assumption is that it won't be in anymore. It'll just leave.
If it's helping with the bdika, then it should be there to
erase. Anachanami. I guess the difference is because if you're really stuck, the bare motion, the shave, I'll leave you, or what to rely on, you know.
Because it's not going to do anything if you put it on 10 hours before.
Okay.
I mean, you can't put it right before they do the bdika. Even the shave, I'll leave you.
Correct. You know what? Between you and me, maybe it has no effect whatsoever an hour before the bdika. But if you think it has an effect, that's 90% of the job. They just don't know right now with the vaccines. They gave people COVID vaccines that had nothing in them. They were just placebos. And 2/3 of the amount of people who got side effects of the real vaccine got with the placebo vaccine. So for every 3 people who got a side effect from the COVID vaccine, two of them got it from an empty vaccine.
That's all right. Just an empty syringe. Those people probably also got COVID.
No. They took that into account. And they had to get COVID that day. Anyway, Kitzer. The point is that it helps a lot to whatever. Just like, you know, you better than I could probably list 20 movies. The moral of which is that if you believe in yourself, then you're right. So, and that even if you'll say that doesn't apply to actual physical things in your body, yes, you're not going to cure cancer just because you have positive thinking most of the time. But when it comes to feeling comfortable, uncomfortable, things hurting or not hurting, then for sure mind over matter works 90% of the time. So even if the answer is that the Shavuot Aleve and the Meremoshe are wrong and it won't help, it'll still help. Or if not, then you were to draw the line. Kitzer, I don't like the cool at all. But if you're really stuck and wetting is not good enough, and in Machon Kippur they said they wet it a little, not soaking wet. They wet it a little, and they wiped the blood on the cloth. It was a good bedika. They put a little Vaseline, and the bedika was worthless. You might as well just stay home. So, therefore, it's very hard for me. I don't know which rabbis mantra putting Vaseline on a cloth. I just know a lot of people do in the world. And I would love to be Mako like that. If it wasn't scientifically disproven, we'll do an experiment ourselves. We'll give it one more chance. What? I was thinking of bringing in a safety pin and alcohol, just going like this. Like, no? What? For scientific experiments? Another. For science? Push it. If someone has a better idea, if you have like blood in your fridge at home, then just bring some in. But then we should probably talk. Now obviously blood from your finger is not the same as menstrual blood, et cetera, but at least to get somewhat close. The limit to how good of an experiment we can do. Anyway, either we will or we won't. Kitzer, meanwhile, we're relying on so again, really none of this is machashiva. But sometimes you're stuck. You know, what's the poor woman supposed to do? So to wet it a little. Already, that's a marsham, and it's not just one marsham. You know, a little more than 100 years ago. All the modern day books since then quote it. So okay, it's a marsham. That's what called to put some Vaseline, but also lock them an hour or two beforehand. Is if you're really stuck, the Meremoshe and the Shavuot Aleve is what to rely on, even though someone had a marsham kind against them, and I have a retort to that, but I don't know who's right. But with Vaseline Vika cloth, I know there are rabbis nowadays who are matur, and I wish I could agree with them, just because it really would be very nice to people. But I just can't go against science. So I can't be matur that, you know, whatever. Okay.
Which is better wet it than use Vaseline a couple hours before?
Yeah.
Because Vaseline, even if it's a couple hours before.
Before, it's still the type of thing that's bad. Water, you know, seems to pass the scientific test. Vaseline fails scientific test. So exactly, you do a little before, here or there, you don't put on the cloth 2 hours before. You know, but still, you're dealing with the wrong substance. So I think that's worse.
Yeah, and the Chasam Tzach, you would say a couple hours before, there is one to be similar, or not?
Yeah. The Shavuot Aleve and the Meremoshe are you know, they're very religious people. You know, again, if it's one, but here it's two, and to the best of my knowledge, they didn't collude. It's not like I don't think one of them is a Talmud or the other or anything. They, you know, again, min hastam, it's the Shavuot Aleve. You got it from the Meremoshe, but I think he's younger than the Meremoshe. Not by a lot, but I think the Meremoshe was a big posik when I was a kid, and the Shavuot Aleve was a big posik when I was an adult. I'm not judging their personal stature, just their reputation. The Meremoshe, I think his reputation peaked when I was a kid. That was his main pilot, and the Shavuot Aleve when I was an adult.
Kuntrasan Electric, right? Yeah. Put out a Kuntrasan.
Who did?
The Meremoshe.
Could be, I don't know. Okay, Viter. Viter. Let's go. Sif Yud. No, Sif Zayin. I mean, Hasuma Badek Atsumayla Kaverta, right? A Suma, a blind woman. Remember, blind people in Halacha are considered Ben Das. Therefore, she can check herself. We're not afraid that because she can't see, she will check herself properly. I mean, there's obviously logical because no woman can see in that part of the body because it's not visible. It's not in line with your eyesight. So therefore, but obviously she has to give her cloth to someone else to check. They're saying shamas. Someone who's only mute or only deaf, they're considered about that, right? So hiring kapikos. So they're like everyone else. They're intelligent. Avolim in the but someone who is deaf and mute. Again, there's a lot of discussion of the status of deaf mute people in halacha nowadays. We're not going to get into that now. Bechina shota, or someone who is insane. Oshenit v'daitamach was holy, or a disease made her lose her mind. Even temporarily, if they want to sleep with their husbands, then they need an intelligent person to do bedikos for them and to figure out when they're tamiyos, when they're tahoros, and when they're vestises in order for them to live with their husbands. They have vestkabua, they're like everyone else. Okay, basically, why is it important to have vestises? Because the husband has to know when. He has to, like, you know, ask the helper to check her, etc. And therefore, so it's the same rule. She's a vestess. He can sleep with her till the vestess. It doesn't have to worry. She's a shota. She might not tell him if she bled. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to worry till the vestess. And if she has no vestess, until 30 days. Again, the nowadays, you know, I don't know how much we do that. Generally, deaf mute people nowadays. It's a little rarer to have deaf mute people who we possibly are not avastas. We try to mostly stretch just physically in terms of helping them hear and or speak a little so they won't be together, not avastas. And with insane people, usually they don't get married and keep hilchos nida. But theoretically, this would be the halacha. So what about special? Look, these are all super duper sensitive questions. Obviously, this could be even more sensitive. Right, because it's again, it's going to look very weird in the outside world that someone else. Well, that's not the reason it's sensitive. The reason it's sensitive is because, you know, it's very, you know, nowadays we are so advanced in how we try to integrate developmentally or otherwise disabled people into society. That once upon a time, it was much easier, like, bendas, not bendas. You know, I there were always borderline cases. But, like, the people who didn't fit into society properly, you know, were, like, on the street running around like vildachayas in the literal sense. And so you understood who was a bastas, who wasn't. People running around naked in the street like behemoths, you know, are not bendas. And the people sitting in their chairs in their houses are. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have, whether someone's physically disabled or developmentally disabled, you know, we really have advanced in terms of, you know, how well we integrate them and help them. And then the question becomes, so, you know, at what point are they advanced enough to be a bendas? Are they not? It gets very, 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 there's a lot of sensitivity involved here in telling someone they're not a bendas, even though on the other hand, you know, sometimes someone's not. So really each case is going to need its own sensitivity for more than hilchos nida. If someone's, I don't know why, but in society nowadays, I just haven't seen a lot of marriage of people who are mamish not bendas. Usually the people who are capable of getting married, the postgam are willing to sort of stretch to call them bendas, at least in most things. So, you know, I don't know how much it comes up. We're seeing, well, Down syndrome, you know, is, again, I don't know what they thought. I can't tell you if we've shown them in a class. Earlier, everyone thought about Down syndrome. They didn't have those words, and I don't know who they're describing. Down syndrome is not necessarily shota. I mean, there's also a range, etc. So I'll say most of the time, the people who are capable of getting married are considered ben and bastas, so it doesn't come up. I just feel like once upon a time, okay, this is probably the Hesper. Again, I'm speculating. I'm not, you know, when I get historical speculation, you don't have to believe me. You never have to believe, but you're always welcome to bask in yourself and, you know, and follow whatever you want. But I'm saying, particularly, but I feel like once upon a time, if someone was a shota, this, that, they didn't have an institution or anything. So you just married them off to have some place for them to live, right? And then you have this sif and shokhanar. Nowadays, generally, if they're enough of a basdas to barely squeeze into the gender of basdas, they get married. And then they're bastas. And if their mom is not a bastas, they probably don't get married. You put them in a home. Because now we have homes. In those days, marriage was better than the street, right? So I don't think this comes up a lot nowadays. It's theoretically true, but I don't think it comes up. Test. Ha'isha shamar b'lido b'imis rasa miyom shlo rasa b'rizim shubachas afli sheisho v'eses kavua. Right, we had this already. I think that's what the Shach says. Ayin le'el. Okay, he just says ayin le'el. The more b'nikas you do, even when you're tahor, the better. We pointed out that nowadays we're not necessarily so gung-ho about this. A, because we seem to have a lot more sensitivity. I don't mean here psychological sensitivity. I mean very physical sensitivity, that a lot of b'nikas go scratching. And B, because every generation we get more and more confused about colors. And that's what Moshe said. There's such confusion about colors that it's not always good to do more b'dikos, because more b'dikos are supposed to get you clarity. If they get you unclarity, that's not a something halachically desirable. So nowadays, the main minhag in most places I've been, most velts I've seen, is that we do not encourage riboy b'dikos for technical reasons, even though theoretically the Shulchan Aruch is right. So it's good to have your eschait and be on the safe side. But for technical reasons, we don't push this. Yud. Here we get to a big, actually, let's, the Ramah here is a big halacha. The Mechaber is pretty posh. Shiv nikim tsara sheyu ritzufin shlo tira dam bahem. There have to be 7 clean days in a row without blood. Shem ras adam afil b'sofi yamashvi. If she sees blood, even at the end of the 7th day, and even though, what rule is this a little bit going against? Even though mixes yom kikulo, nonetheless, if she sees dam, even at the end of the 7th day. Why do I say that goes against? Because midoraisa, she could tovel in the middle of the 7th day and say, mixa yom kikulo, I'm yotze already. But still, she's only yotze mixa yom kikulo if there's no stira in the rest of the day. Mixa yom kikulo as long as it's not contradicted by the rest of the day. Right? So midoraisa, in the morning, she could tovel and stop doing bedikos and stop. Again, we don't do this. But midoraisa, she can more than stop doing bedikos, stop wearing white, stop caring about it, just go to the mikvah, sleep with her husband, everything. Mixa yom kikulo. And she doesn't have to do the whole day, but it still has to be not contradicted the whole day. And therefore, if she bleeds even at the end of the 7th day, then that ruins the whole Shiva Nikiyam. Which, by the way, is the main reason why Midra Bonin should not let her tovel on the 7th day. Because if she tovels on the 7th day, sleep with her husband, and then bleeds, then he goes to Afreya, she's Chayiv Karis. I mean, Chayiv Chatas. Whatever. Chayiv. Didn't have Vera's Karis. Okay. Any case, if she bleeds at all, even on the 7th day, she was soaked her everything, and she needs to have like tarn another Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, the Shach and the Taz and all the Akron deal with something we're not going to deal with now, which is now that we have Fumagur Zaver, why do you have to tell us that any blood in the 7 days is soaked? Doesn't matter. Any blood in the 7 days requires a new Shiva Nikiyam anyway. Okay. So, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Everyone has their own sort of answer, but it doesn't matter. The halach is true. If she sees blood, the truth is, if she sees blood anytime Shiva Nikiyam, she needs a new Hefzik Tara Shiva Nikiyam for 2 reasons. A, because she ruined her old Shiva Nikiyam and has to start again. B, because of Chomer D'Rizera, she's now a new Zava Gedola. Okay, that's not the Mechudish part at all. The Mechudish part is the Ramah. The Ramah comes up with something that's not found anywhere in the Gemara or Rav Rishonim. Okay, why it's not found in Rav Rishonim is controversial. Says the Beis Yosef quotes in the Sefer Atruma, the Mordechai, and that goes by Maimonides. Right? So basically, like, you know, one of the Rishonim Ashkenaz quoted by another two. Yesh Omer, Bishlosha Yom Rishonim Shad Mesfir, in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, and Matza Kesem in Tolos Alahakel. If she finds a Kesem, we don't do Tliya. Remember, in a Kesem, you can be told on any possible Tliya. There's no plea of a kesem in the first 3 days. Kamosha Tolan Shark Samim. Why did Shloshi Yom Rishonim Shikus Nikiyam Agamri? The first 3 days have to be totally Nikiyam. What does that mean? This is based on Shor Mu'ad. The first 3 days, she's not yet Bechezkas Tara. She's not Bechezkas Tara, she's still Bechezkas Toma. If she's Bechezkas Toma, then in Safek, we have to go with Toma. So if there's a kesem, we have to be told it on Damnida, not on a Tliya. But afterwards, the last 4 days, like every other kesem, and that is our minhag. So there's no tliya of a kesem in the first 3 days because she hasn't moved to cheskas tara yet. Again, this idea of the first 3 days is not found in Shas or Moshe Shonin. It's found in the Sefer HaTruma and the Mordechai and the Hagos Maimonides. Here we have a very big machlokes where, I don't know, there's sometimes, again, you're never going to, okay, there's sometimes when, okay, I don't necessarily identify with what the Shach says here. But what is Chumrah? The Chumrah of the Sefer HaTshuva and the Mordechai and the Hagos Maimonides, they say, Ein Tolim Samim the Gimel Yamim Harishonim. Why did only three Rishonim say this? There's a lot of Rishonim out there. Three is a small minority. I don't know how many people count as Rishonim, for what purpose, etc. But three is a small minority, right? I could easily list you all the Rishonim who don't say it, and it would be a very long list, right? What? I'll give you 10 who talk out of this Nida, right? The Rambam, the Rif, the Ravid, the Raza, and this Hasan is the Ravid, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rush, the Rebbeinu Yerucham, the what? That's he didn't write a sefer on Hilchos on Hilchos Nida, the Torah. And who else do we quote sometimes? Help me out here. What? The Tosos, we put Tosos sometimes, we put the Ritva sometimes. Fair enough. We the Smog and the Smock. Okay, good. We're Yotzin. Cheaper by the dozen. Now, here's a big machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach. Says the Ramah, it is a minority Shita. Says the Ramah, it's a minority Shita. It's a Das. I don't know about a Das Yachid, but it's a Das Miut, right? It's a minority Shita. He really seems to be right up from Shito. Says the Shach. The Shach loved this Chumrah. Says the Shach, no. After all, none of the other Rishonim says, you say you are Tola Kess for the first 3 days. Yil Matzosa min HaMefurish. We can learn Stam from HaMefurish. If these three Rishonim said it, and no one else said the opposite, then they all agree. I'm very disinclined to believe the Shach. I bet any amount of money that's not true. But that's the sheep of the Shach. Yil Matzosom. Sosom is Stam. They didn't say anything. Min HaMefurish. The Shach thinks, all Rishonim agree until proven otherwise. And the Ramah says, give me a break. This is a Chiddush Gomer. Anyone who agreed would have said so. I find the Ramah a lot more convincing. And we'll see. I think so to a lot of our
friends. So, Svara, why wouldn't we say that you get out of from the Hesed Tah?
Exactly. That's exactly what the Ramah thinks is the mainstream halacha. Not only that, he says, that's what he thinks the main is the mainstream halacha. Not only that, he says, hold on a second. In Simit, okay, let's read on a little. Says the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Bedav kechesem shuyoser migrisva od." Only it's more than a kigrisva. Pach mikigrisva od tola bekina filu shlosha yam harishonim. Okay, less than a kigris. You're tola even b'shlosha yam harishonim. If you look at the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Katan Yud Beis, he quotes the Chen de Shlomo that it's ein makabel tola. It's also mutter, and even in the first 3 days, and he medayik from the Iltzadaka. That if it's not a colored garment, you also make it leaving the first 3 days. Basically, all the kulas of Ksamim apply the first 3 days, except for Tliya. The only question is whether you're tolling at Kesem in the first 3 days. So, the kulay alma mutter if there is, let's call it a technical enter, right? Because remember, we passed in like Ramboshe that Kigris was a technical enter. If it's Enum Akabal Toma, right? Or, you know, Eino Makabel Toma, Tzivonim, Pachos, Mikigris, technically Pachos, Mikigris, Oden, Mikigris or less, right? The only question is Talia. Can you be Tole on something in the first 3 days or not? That's the only question is Talia. So, the only question is Talia. Why? Because all these things are just formal Dina Drabana. Drabana weren't Gozer on color, so they weren't Gozer, they weren't Gozer. They weren't Gozer on Eim Makabel Toma. If they weren't Gozer, they weren't Gozer. They weren't Gozer unless they were Risva owned. Okay? But how about a Tliya? Tliya means like we assume it was from something else. Right? You walk by someone shechting a bird, we assume it was from there. Again, nowadays, Tliyos, we never, the only thing we're told on are usually makos in that area of the body, both of the underwear, etc. So, but it's Leah, that's already a matter of where it's likely to come from. How can you say it's more likely to come from someplace else in your Bechezgas Toma? Your Bechezgas Roa. So you can't be Toma.
I would say that these Rishonim were just like the Urim, not like here, but if we would be like Amoshus, then even so.
No, because that was only about less than a Kegris. There was no Kakir about more than a Kegris and being told on something else. So
that would be even Amoshus.
Yes. So what if there are,
just in terms of, the reason why they say it in the first 3 days is because you want to establish the fact that it's the Mayan Sasa, right? So then why would it matter any day? Like, why do we have other kulas? We know, we know that she's the
one. Because since she came without a Hargosha, it's only a Dinder Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan were in Gozer if it's not Makabal Tova. Meaning, in any case, we're Makal, even though we know it's not Mida, they just Stam were in Gozer, so we're Makal here also. It's only a Tliya when we are not Makal, because a Tliya. Every other kula is saying, we know it's Dam Nida, we're Makel anyway. So we're Makel. Tliya means, we don't know if it's Dam Nida. That's why we're Makel. So here, it's more likely it's Dam Nida, but she's Bechezgas Roa. That's the difference. It's a little funny. Meaning, the more Mechudish kulas apply, the less Mechudish kulas don't. But it actually makes perfect logical sense. If I say, oh, it's colored. So even though it's totally Dam Nida, the Rabbanu were Makel, they're Makel here also. If I say, it's white more than kagris on the Kabbal Toma, but you pass by a bird being shafted, so you can be told on the bird, then we're saying, we're not Mako, stop. We're only Mako because it might be from something else. In that case, since here it's more likely to be from you, we have to be Machber. Says the Ramah, has a lot of problems with this. The Ramah says, first of all, for sure, Chomer B'Yamah. This is not their real sheet and shas. This is Stama Chomer. And he says, and also, since it doesn't make sense, Kuf Pei Zayin, even a Bedika were Makel to be Tola on a Maka. So even a Bedika were Tola on a Maka, and a Bedika is no Raisa. Why would we be Tola Kesem when a Kesem is the Rabbanan? So therefore, says the Ramah, ends, V'hu Adin, Im Ha'yolo Maka B'gufov, Yodah Shemotzi Adam, if she had a Maka, she Yodua Shemotzi Adam.
What's the kasha?
Why? Because Maka Yadua Shemotzi Adam Tolim Bedika and Tolim Kesem Bidgimel Yamim Rishonim. Maka She'eno Yadua Shemotzi Adam Ein tolim bedika, the ein tolim kesem, the gimel yamim harishonim. He says, you're right. We can't be more matra than a bedika. How can a kesem or a bona be more matra than a bedika del raisa? Therefore, but by a kesem, we have far out tulios, birds and the shuk and the this and the maybe, remember, maybe your husband has something where if you scratch it, it could get the scab can come off and bleed. No, Bakshi, do us some tea down, that we're totally even in the detail, we've been told the first 3 days also. Says the Shach, Shach says, no way. He says, no, and she's Bechezgas Mayon Sosum, Tolin, Afilum de Oraisa, when she's Bechezgas Mayon Patuach, Ein Tolin, Afilu Kesem Drabanan. He says, no, we're talking this more mapper, this Kesem, which Drabanan is more mapper than it's Diko. That's all right. So why? Because all the Dino and Tlios, the Dikos, and Kofi Zion were when she's Bechezka's Hara. She's Bechezka's not bleeding, so even if it's a Shiloh of a Diko will be Tola. But here she's Bechezka's bleeding. She hasn't had 3 clean days yet. If she's still Bechezka's bleeding, even a Kesem Drabanan is more Hummer than if Diko writes them and she's Bechezka's not bleeding. And therefore, says the Shach, Ein Tolim Klau, and Gimel Yomim Harishonim. this is a tremendous nafkamina. Because this could come up. Why could this come up? Because sometimes a woman is very sensitive. There's a lot of popping in the pill. She can try to have some power to take her a while, whatever. And she tries and do a bedika, and that could cause scratching and bleeding. Or she has some other makka. And then she wants to know, should be told in the first 3 days or not. So, if it's not your dosh matzia daf, no, you can't be told on fire out there. What if it's very well found? According to the Ramah, you can't be told the first 3 days. According to the Shach, you can't.
Wouldn't the Shach agree in that kind of scenario? Because part of the discussion is like eat epsher.
Okay, correct. So basically, the Shach, based on the Bach and the Taz, Tumas Dark Emotion, all says that there's a nice home of the Dark Emotion here, says the Shach and the Taz. And maybe the Bach, they both say this is what the Bach meant, but he wasn't so foolish, says, but there's one exception. If E F Shar, then she can be Tola. What if it's E F Shar? She'll never be able to get Tara. Now again, what's the getter be F Shar? Obviously, you have to use your judgment. What does the F Shar mean? But it's clear they don't think the F Shar means waiting another day or two. If the F Shar, one of their examples was, she has terrible skin diseases, full of boils, and her clothing's always full of blood. So what's she going to do? Get divorced? So no, the EF Shar won't go through, then clearly you can be told that. Or if whatever, somehow, whatever the scenario, if it's EF Shar, Lemaisa, even the Shach will pass it. Why? Because Kesem Darbon, it wouldn't be gozer for a woman to get divorced and never be able to go to the mikvah. Okay, but if it's EF Shar, the Shach and the Taz are machmer not to be told at all. Well, Ramah, even though they're emotion, he suggests it's a nice chumrah to be machmer like the Shach and the Taz, but he doesn't pass the man in the mapa. He doesn't say it at all. The Ramah says, no, we're told on machshir diya shayshir duha shamotzi adam. Yes, he doesn't quote the Shach, but it comes out the same. The Taz and Dalit comes out exactly the same, if I understand him properly. How do we paskin? I think ad hayom hazeh, this controversy is not clear. On the one hand, you say, Ramah versus Shach and Taz. Okay, Ramah was the old days. The Shach and Taz came along, and now it's different. But it's not so plush. In the Torah of Shlomo here, he says, in your Dalit, HaShach Herich, L'Hasig al Din Zed, HaKosav Deim HaHak El Elim, Kin HaMaka L'Tzi Adam Tomid. Right? Okay, that's it. Unless it's always bleeding. It's yeah, sure. Right? It's always bleeding. What do you do? Over MSN, Verm HaKosav Cloud, Sova Shoma MaHak El. Nah, the Shach is not Machmir. The Shach doesn't have good timeness at all. The Shach is not logical at all. Some of Rabbana, we should be Makel. The Torah Hashlom is Makel against the Shach, meaning you have the Ramban Makel, then the Shach with Taz come to be Machmir, but the later generation is very controversial. The Chachmas Adam, if you look up inside, says, oh, pretty much the same thing. And the Bani Shulchan, he actually quoted the Kriyas Yitzchak and the Pan of the Eros, who are also Makel, and many Achronim are Machmir. It's a big Machlokus, but many Achronim, I don't know how to count. At a certain point, it's too hard to count. Leidar. But many poskim are mekel, like the Ramah. So if you want to add to the Ramah, who would you add here? You would add the Taz. Here you would add the Torah Shlomim. Let's just add Nechafas Adam. I don't know if it's Nechafas Adam on the page, but you can look it up if you really want, or you can take my word for it. Who are mekel like the Ramah. Halakha Lamaisa, I still think they're different than Hagim nowadays, but a lot of poskim are mekel like the Ramah. Right, willing is very, very clear that we should pass like Ramah. So we're not told to summon Bichdi in the first 3 days. No, you need to have a very strong clear. But we're still told to summon if it's Machmir Dush, even if it's Etzer, she can wait another day or two or three and be okay. No, we're still told on Machmir Dush, Mutsiyadam in the first 3 days of Shemnikiyam, which means Lamaisa, if you just put two and two together and are logical, if you're being tola a bedika, then the first 3 days of Shemini Kiyum are the same as any other day. In a bedika, mainly you can only be tola a bedika on a machkas sheyadua shematzi adam, right? A bedika or a tashmish. Bedika or tashmish, we know you only tola machkas sheyadua shematzi adam. Okay, there's that other weird case that I'm over there. Let's think of the bedika. Bedika, mainly we're only tola machkas sheyadua shematzi adam, which means that bedika has the same rules the first 3 days as everything else. It's only the ways that kesems are more makel than bedikos that don't apply in the first 3 days. The technulatary reply, I mean the tlios. So that basically that means that if a rabbi is a shiloh being told about bedika of a makkah, it doesn't make a difference if it's the first 3 days. If you're Dush Mitzi Adam, we rely on the Ramah. And if it's not Yadur, she would see a dam, we would never be told of Dika. It's only if you have a kesem, and it's a bit of a far clear. I don't far at 0.1%. But it's not Yadur. You know, even far, you know, 20%. But you don't Yadur, she would see a dam. Then you can't be told that. But the Maisa, what that means is that usually this Chumrah doesn't come up because usually either it's a Makash Yadur Shemitzi Adam or not. Or you're not being told at all. But theoretically, if you had this in-between Fliya, then you wouldn't do it during the first 3 days. So it's very important to remember. Since we pass like Ramah, a Bedika has the same rules of Fliya in the first 3 days as in any other day in the world. Only Yadur Shemitzi Adam. A Kesed has different rules. First 3 days, it has to be Yadur Shemitzi Adam. The rest of the time, it doesn't. So to summarize, to be told a kesem in the first 3 days, you have the same standards as being told a bedika. You need to do a shemotzi about.
What would the Ramah and the other Rishon Lachron say about the chazak chesas mayim basuah in the first 3 days?
They would say, once you have to tar, you have to chesas
sasum.
Yeah, chesas tar, but chesas sasum. Not everything needs 3 days to change the chazakah. This is the funny thing. A shor needs 3 times to change the chazakah because it's a matter of his nature. Other chazakas in Shas don't need 3 times to change the chazaka. Cheskas Tara, Cheskas Toma, Cheskas Isser, Cheskas Heter, Cheskas Pnuya, Cheskas Ishit Ish. 1 time is good enough. So is this more like those chazakas or more like these chazakas? So that seems to be the debate. Okay. What else do we have to discuss here?
Venner?
Yes.
How do we read in the Ramah that he distinguishes it, that he says that it sounds like he's saying that if it's pachos mikigris that we davka can be tola during the gemel rishonim now?
Yeah, well, pachos mikigris va'od tola bikina filum shloshi yom rishonim. Less than a gris, we are tola bikina in the first 3 days.
So saying we can be tola. I thought that was one of the that's a non-technical Taliyah, so therefore...
Okay, so I cheated a little, you're right. I was reading the Ramah, but reading Ramah, I mean, Moshe had Moshe will come to Moshe, Rav Moshe's terminology. I was reading the Ramah, as he says Taliyah, but we'll read it as a technical heter, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. But you're right. If you want to read the Ramah more kipshuto, he just means as mamash Taliyah. So why is a bug Taliyah better than anything else? So Lachara, because bugs are super, super strong Taliyah. Back in the day, bugs are like makashi yudushim and tiyadam. It's a super strong tliya. As a matter of fact, even the shachmetaz would be milled on bugs back in the day because the yafs are without bugs.
So we are tola on pachos mikigris during the bedika of the shem and nikiyam in the first 3 days.
No, bedika we're never told pachos mikigris. That's only a kesem, right? Remember, the heter pachos mikigris is only by a kesem, not a bedika. So when I say only by a kesem, not a bedika.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Let me just see if there's anything in the Pesach Tshuva. I'm not going to read every Pesach Tshuva now, especially since we're way behind. But if there's anything that really has to be mentioned. Okay. What? Okay. In Sefkat Yoni has all these discussions of what if you're only Tameya for a very minor reason? Do you still have to keep this home in the Ramah? Like only because of Dam Chima, only because of Kesem, only because of Dam Besulim, etc. Okay, we won't get into it now. Another fascinating discussion. What if she checked herself for non-halachic purposes, and it's been 3 days since she checked herself? Do we trust her bedika, and then the Ramah's Chumra doesn't apply? Or do we say if it was for non-halachic purposes, then whatever you do non-halachically, we can't rely on for halachic purposes because you weren't serious enough? Fascinating discussion.
What's the bottom line of that for Shaila?
The bottom line of that first Shaila is that if she's only Tmeya because of a Kesem, it's a Machlokas, but we're Mekel. If she's only, and there's no Chomer of the Ramah, if there's, meaning, Chomer of the, Ramah, even the Ramah's version, but it's still a Chomer. If she's only Tmeya because of Dam Chimad, we're Mekel. If she is Tmeya because of Dam Besulim, then we're Mach. That's the bottom line. No, those kids were Mekel even if they knew Dua. Right. The Chumrah doesn't apply at all, but it doesn't come up a ton. I admit it doesn't come up a ton.
You said Shuba said the reason
this is because Shkiyah Ketuba Yesh.
Yeah, exactly. So he says that, yeah. Sir, and I was reading it more in the Rebbe Moshe Feinstein there. I admit, I was reading a little different. Okay.
So just going back to that previous point, I'm just kind of like summarizing what you just said. So in terms of the Dikos, that can make a difference, but in terms of the Kesem, there will be a difference. But since today we don't do, I may very rarely make this point, since today we don't really do Kliyas,
it'll hardly ever come up.
Right.
This whole Ramah will hardly ever come up. Right. Correct. Exactly. Okay. Yud Aleph, we're not going to go through now. The Yud Beis, we already discussed. Yud Gimel, we're not going to go through now. Yud Dalid, okay, we'll skip that also for now. Okay, Viter. Yud Aleph. Now, Sif Yud Aleph, we get to a big, big Inyan in Shivanakiyah, right? Right, as we all know, those of us here are Ashkenazim, week 4 and 7. What a Tema Nim wait? 5 and 7, I mean. Where in my head? 5 and 7. What a Tema Nim do? 4 and 7. Okay, like Sfardim. Okay, all Sfardi Kalas learn every month you're in Ida for at least 4 and 7. And all Ashkenazi Kalas learn every month you're in Ida for at least 5 and 7. Meaning 4 days for your period, and then if you're Sfardi, you try to do a Sektara, and then you should make it. 5 days for your period for Ashkenazim, and then you try to do a Tektara, and you need Shem Nikiyah. It's not Dafka 4 and 7 or 5 and 7, it all depends on your period. That's, if your period lasts 6 days, it's 6 and 7. The question is, what's the minimum? Most women's period lasts 5 days, so then there's no difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim and not having this halacha at all. Most women's period lasts 5 days, but still, sometimes a woman has a short period, or she's Tamea from just some strange bleeding that's not a full period. So then it'll be a big enough thing how many days she has to wait. So where does all this come from? It comes from the Gemara Nida Ad Mibaya about, Shmuel, when you get a chance, please, about Poleta Shefa Zera. Right? Just last week's Parsha. Right? We were still a chover last week's Parsha, even on Thursday. Right? Vayor Alev Hayuna Chavim Shoshim Al Tikshu El Isha. Right? Before Har Sinai, he says to the Jewish men, for 3 days, prepare for the revelation. Prepare to meet Hashem. Right? In Har Sinai. Stay away from women. What is the Pshuto Shel Mikra? Pshuto Shel Mikra is, of course, that men are the ones who are supposed to be close to Hashem and have Har Sinai and have revelation. And women are dirty and lowly. Therefore, the men have to stay away from these dirty, lowly women in order to be Zocha for Har Sinai by staying away from these women who are the opposite of Hashem. That's what you would think Pashup Shad and Mifumish was. Of course, what Chazal say? Chazal say exactly the opposite. The women have to come to Har Sinai, and the men. And the men will make the women dirty if they go near them. The women won't be able to come to Har Sinai. So the men have to stay away. The women have to stay away from these men who are going to put tuma in them and make them dirty so the women can be clean and pure and come to Har Sinai without being defiled by their husbands. Okay. I don't think that Chazal said that because of any type of hashkafa about gender or anything. I think that it was just their halachic logic. But it is interesting. It is noteworthy. It's again, at the very least, if this drasha of Chazal, which is very not the simple pshat of the pasuk, means anything, it proves that when Chazal darshan psukim, they didn't have any particular agenda about philosophy of gender or these other things. They were just trying to work out the halach. Okay, and what in fact happened? Why did they separate from the women? The men could have had no problem. The men have no problem. They could have been at Har Sinai with being near women for 3 days. But there's a hatumah called poletah shechva zera. When a man emits shechva zera from his body, he is tummy. The Shefa Zera is an avatoma, and the man becomes a rishon toma. That's about carry. That's we're familiar with Kilos Ezra nowadays, that Hasidim do, etc. When a woman emits Shefa Zera from her body, she also becomes a rishon toma. How does a woman emit Shefa Zera? She doesn't produce Shefa Zera. Yeah, but if she's a married woman and she sleeps with the husband put the Zera in her, and what happens to all the Zera that goes into the woman? Okay, we're very rosy, optimistic view, and it all becomes babies. Okay, but keep in mind that each, you know, tiny cubic centimeter of semen has like a million whatever in there, and then a woman doesn't have a million babies every 2 days, 3 days, whatever it may be, every week, whoever. Clearly, that's we're not even before you see us trying, we're not on that much right now, right? Six max, and even then it takes 9 months. So where does the rest of it go? So most of it just comes back out. It drips out eventually. So when the sichel zera comes out of the woman's body, she also becomes a rishon latoma. And this even comes up, you remember b'shayis and brachos, right? Just like a man in the days of Tfilas Ezra could not learn or daven if he was a balkeri to be told. Well, if a woman became a balas keri, as it were, called a balentaship of zera, that the keri came out of her, she also couldn't learn daven until she told us. Now, the Gemara has an ibaya. Oh, Poleta Shechazera, is she like a roa or like a nogas? Is she a Risha Latoma because she touched the Zera on the way out? And the Chiddush is, she touched the Zera on the way out? Okay, without getting the details, even if it doesn't exactly know the rules of touching. Or, no, she's a roa. Roa doesn't see. Roa is like roa keri, roa nida, etc. Or because she emitted. Meaning, is it a lower level Toma of touching Shechazera? Whoever touches Shechazera is a Risha? Or is it a higher level Toma of emitting Shechla Zera? Which the Nafkamina is, it's called Toma Hayotzeis Megufa, right? Big Nafkamina nowadays for people of certain Hashkafa, as I see the smile already, is can a woman go on to Harabayas if she's a Bolet? Can a married woman go to Harabayas? If she just touched Shechla Zera, I can touch every Tomei thing in the world and go to Harabayas, right? But if it's like Roa, then she is Toma Yotzlo Migufa. Remember, Toma Yotzlo Migufa cannot go on the whole Harabais. Anyone who's Toma coming out of their body can't go on Harabais, and touches Toma can. So that's one Nafkamina would be, can she go to Harabais, right?
A man's not considered
no, a man of Vado is a Balkari, can't go to Harabais until he totals.
Oh, so we also should totals.
Yeah, but it's not going to help because she can still be full at this a minute later.
So you have to 3 days.
Yeah, and can a married woman within 3 days of Kashmish go to Harabais? So that depends if she's no gas or a roa. We paskin, she's a roa. And that's why it's very rare to find women going up to Harabais nowadays. Machlok is whether you're allowed to go to Harabais or not. According to the Shita that men should go to Harabais, it's very rare to find women on Harabais. Why? Because they're manashah. If they're single, they're a nida. And it's not considered sanua for a woman who's a single woman who's a nida to go to mikvah because it looks nefarious purposes. And if she's married, then we manashah. If she's a nida, she's a nida. Tomer from her body, she can't go. And if she's not a nida, we hope she sleeps with her husband every 3 days. And then every 3 days, a little more zera might drip out and she'd be able to let shiva zera, so she's a roa, so she can't go. So the only way a woman would go to her bias is if she was a married woman who is more than 3 days from Tashmish and went to the mikvah. And that's why most married women still don't want to go, because like, okay, that's already too much information. Right? What do they call it? TMI? And that's why in the circles where people go to Harabayas, the minhag is that the kala always goes before the wedding. Why? Because then there's obviously no shechla zera. She hasn't gotten married yet. And there's no nida because you told before the wedding. And meanwhile, she's getting married tomorrow anyway. Like, there's no too much information. Everyone knows that she's getting married. All her friends and neighbors know she's getting married. That's a darshan for her, yeah? So that's why in a lot of circles, women go up to Harabayas before their wedding, correct. There's a from lady who was a sar in the last government, sar, an ambassador or something, from the Kud. And you didn't know exactly her hashkafa on these things until she was single and she got married, if I recall correctly. And she sent a picture, tweeted, I assume. That's what everyone does in pictures nowadays, right? Politicians, at least. She tweeted a picture of her going to Harabayas on her wedding day. Okay. So now we saw that she's from the Harabayas next. Okay, so that's one nafkamina which has nothing to do with us whatsoever. The nafkamina that has to do with us is the following. The Gemara says, as a davar pashut, a zav has to count shiva nikiyum. Yeah, nowadays we don't care about that so much because now we're going to say, all right, we don't keep tumah v'tahara. It doesn't affect the marriage, only the tumah v'tahara. What if he becomes a balkeri in the middle of shiva nikiyum? Since he's roa keri, he can't count it as shiva nikiyum. There's a funny rule. If he sees Ziva, it's so the whole Shiva Nikiyum has to start all over again. If he is Roe Keri, it's not Sosa the days until now, but it rings today. Any day that you have Toma Migufo, Toma Yotzma Migufo, any day you roa a different Toma, doesn't so ser the Sirvan Akiyam, but is an Ola, right? It's Eno Sosa, Eno Ola. Any day a Zav sees Keri, doesn't so ser the days until now, but today doesn't count. Likewise, the Gemara says that's enough Gemina if Poletes is Roa or Nogas. If a Poletes, if a Poletes is Roa, if a Poletes Shefa Zera is Roa, then it's not Soser Shiva Nikia. Oh, sorry. If she's no gas, okay, she tucks in the tummy. Tucks in the tummy is no problem. But if she's a roa, she's considered tequila as if she produced the shefa zera, then so ser yomo. It's not so ser the old days until now. So ser that day. Now, of course, you'll say, so ser that day. So, we paskin that poleta shefa zera is roa, which means that a woman who lets Shefa Zera is Sosa that day of Shiva Nikiyam. Now, we add one thing. The Gemara says a few places that unlike a man when he becomes a Balkeri, he knows he becomes a Balkeri. There's certain very, very distinguishable experience in becoming the Balkeri. Right? A man feels when he meets Keri. The Gemara does say that, well, if he doesn't also go to the bathroom afterwards, there might be a drop left that'll come out later, but he goes to the bathroom, okay. So he feels he may be carried. He goes to the bathroom once just to make sure if there's one drop stuck inside, it comes out. And then he knows he's done even to carry. A woman, Poleta Shefa Zera, she doesn't have a feeling of Poleta Shefa Zera. Because you understand the difference. The man's carry is a certain biological process. The woman, Poleta Shefa Zera, is not a biological process of her body. It's just something that came in, going out. Therefore, the Gemara says that a woman has to be choshesh, she's poleta shefa zera. That's why the woman can't just sleep with her husband and go to the tovel and go to harabayas, because she told her from her shefa zera. But maybe she'll go let's again as soon as she gets out of the mikvah. The woman doesn't feel poleta shefa zera. And therefore, she always has to worry she might be poleta shefa zera. So therefore, basically what comes out of this? What comes out of this is that after tashmish, she can't count Shiva Nikia because every day she might be Lishon Shefa Zera and not find it. And if you'll say she'll just check her underwear, etc., it's very hard because Shefa Zera is white and it's very hard to notice it, not like red. And therefore, it's Pasha and Chazal, they were discussing Truma. They say, oh, the woman just, she just can't be Truma after Bia because she might be blood Shefa Zera in a second. Okay, is there a solution? Then there was Fargan, so there was. But we'll get to that in Sif Yud Gimel. Okay.
I can think of a woman wearing something like hygienic, like what pad or something, rather than actually to be technically being bullied with that solid problem for the carbon.
No. Here it gets a little tricky. I'm not
going to have to be bullied.
Okay. One of these days, we want to have a little seminar. There's a lot to be said about the geography, as it were, if I can use that word, Lavdavka. Of the female genitals, with exactly what part counts for what halacha, like when what goes from where to where is the tomacha, as well as many other, what the pros are. There's a lot to be discussed in terms of this. It's very confusing, and shot of Chazal is very different than a lot of Mefarshim. It's very, very complex. Part of this complex issue is exactly where is the shekel? Is there a nifla from? Where is it nifla to? At exactly what point is it the tummy hurt? It's very unclear. So I will leave it as there's a lot of unclarity about exactly where the line is that we're afraid of it going from to, and what the biology really is, et cetera. And the problem is sometimes you get some abortion, they don't match our biology, et cetera. So the mice, we don't have any good solution. Bottom line, we don't have a good solution. A woman after Tashmish, I mean, again, totally gets the few given. Okay. They chew this, maybe Sephardim have a totally different inyan. Right? So if you're given, maybe Sephardi women go to Har Bayis all the time. I don't know if a lot of Sephardi. Okay, at the risk of being a little whatever. I don't know how many Sephardi women are really eager to go to Har Habayis. But maybe they would have an easier time. What? You really don't like me, do you? I'm saying that not everyone has to like me. You just haven't gone to talk. What does this mean? Now, first question is, okay, forever. How long after Bia does the woman have to worry about Lashon Chazara? So the Gemara has no limit to how long the Zera can drip out. The Gemara is not at all interested in how many days later can the Zera still drip out. No, they assume infinite number of days. I not really. The assumption, however, what's the bottleneck? They assume it can drip out for a long time, but it only counts when it's Halo Zera. What does the word Zera mean? Literally, when it's seed, it can grow, right? Something's only called Zera if it can grow. If it can't grow, it's not a Zera. So basically, only when the sperm is alive. Eventually, the sperm dies. Now, again, I don't know what the scientists say about this. Of course, the scientists, I don't know if they really do experiments about this. I have no idea what the scientists say. I'm sure it's more, I think it might be more or less they argue the same sheet as the Dershon and the Tanaim, et cetera, for all I know. But clearly, Zera outside the body stays alive for a very short time. Very short time. Again, if every time you read in the newspapers that these Palestinian security prisoners brag that, they think they put us in jail because they want to be mamayit our population, which is not true. Meaning, however many people they put in jail is not being mamayit anyone's population. Right, it's like, you know, one out of every 10,000 people. How do we get them down to 99.99% of babies and then we'll win? But they want to genocide us in minor population, but we outwitted them. We're multi-zera into a potato chip bag and snuck it out, and my wife put it inside herself and she got pregnant. Okay? All I have to say is I'm not getting involved in anyone's family politics, but I would have a lot of trouble being matter him to sleep with her again after he got out of jail. Because I'll be science, Zara in a potato chip bag is not going to last more than an hour before it dies. Okay, that's the potato chip bag. Unless they have all kinds of climate control or potato chip bag, et cetera. Sound like that.
Depends on the brain.
But in a woman's body, when it has the proper temperature, et cetera, rather than incubating the eggs, it's not an egg, it's the other, it's the opposite, still, then it can last a little longer. How long can it last? I have not done any scientific research. I don't know. I think the scientists are definitely in the same order of magnitude as the different cheetahs. I don't know if you can be machria. I assume you can't be machria, because how do scientists work? They're like, well, statistically, it lasts this long, but obviously, you know, a tiny percent will last a little longer, a tiny percent shorter, and then the question, where do you draw the line? It's a machlokes tanaim, and a machlokes rishonim of the tanaim. It is a big confusion. How long does it live? But after it dies, it's no longer metamics. It's not called a chalov zera. So how long does it live? The two main shitas are, he quotes here from the Orzarua, who says two onus, 24 hours. That's not the mainstream shita. The mainstream shitas, what are the two mainstream shitas? What?
Three onus or six onus?
Exactly. Three onus or six onus. How long does it last? Says the Rambam, Gimel Onos, says the Rush and others, Bach Onos. Where does this come from? It comes from Rosh Lokas Tanoim. Why does everyone pass like the Tanoim? They pass like we're not going to get into now. Ayin Shum, right? So the Rambam, this is like which Tana? Like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Like the Chachamim. Okay, how do we paskin, anyone? We paskin, Sheish Onos, says the Mechaber, Habolet, the Shevazeri, Mesvi Rasa, Imutok, Sheish Onos, Lashimusha, Shoseris, Osayom. We paskin, like the Rush, not like the Rambam. What's the famous question the Magen Avraham brings down? Yes. Come on, you all know this famous question. Yes. The famous question is the Gemara says that if the Rambam's, if Rabbi Elazar is right, then Matan Torah is Bav Sivan. Because we only have to wait to the third day for the third day, 4, 5, 6. And then you have three onos. If the Chacham are right, then Matan Torah was Zion Sivan, because on the fourth day you needed 72 hours. So 5, 6, 7. So we paskin Shavuos on the sixth day. We paskin Matan Torah on the sixth day because we celebrate Shavuos on the sixth day and say my Matan Torah saved. Yet, in Hilchos Nigah, we paskin like the Rush. Big machlokes. This would be the most popular shiur always on Shavuos, except that it starts at awkward. okay. A lot of people give the shiur anyway. They manage to finesse it. Anyway, Kitzer, what's interesting is that one of the answers on the Achronim is that maybe we really hold like the Rambam. It's just the Chumra that we hold like the other Rishonim. That would be an interesting topic. The only thing might come in is if someone wants to be Mako, they could say, you know what, from Shavuos, we're Lokia, then maybe we hold like the Rambam, and it's just a Chumra here in the Machab. It's not what it sounds like. It sounds like an Ikker Dimi hold. Okay, what's the answer? The answer might be there might be a third sheet in the Tanoim, which has a totally different calendar. For Matan Torah in the Gemara and Shabbos, the answer might be a lot of other things. We're not going to get into it now. If you want to read something that is a little more radical, and as a matter of fact, I actually thought no one Orthodox saw this until I saw it was a Rishon. In the Shurri Bosch, he actually says Shavuos not really is Matan Torah saying, but that's only a later minhag. It's really a harvest festival. Maybe. Or maybe not. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens until then. Anyway, Kitzer. Okay. Anyway, we paskin, and therefore what? Therefore, now, hold on. Are there any Rishonim who are makel about this? Therefore, basically what happens? After Tashmish, you have to wait 72 hours before Kaddish Shemakiyim. Therefore what? Let's read on in the Mechaber. Shema ain't a maschal so she became a shiver. She shown a slave shema tiflot. She might be poletta. She no way to feel it. Fikahin maschalis lispar at Yomachamish in the Shimusha. She cannot start counting till the fifth day of her Tashmish. Not from, but off. If you think about it like this, 72 hours, Vavonos, it's Vavonos doesn't mean from sunrise to sunset. It means the time of Vavonos, 72 hours. 72 hours is how many days on the calendar?
It could span.
It could or must. Unless you hold 72 hours must span 4 days, right? Because assuming you don't time it, we don't know when Beit Hamikdash is, right? So assuming that Tashmish is on Sunday, so part of Sunday, all of Monday, all of Tuesday, and part of Wednesday. Basically, every 72 hours is going to take 4 days because part of a day, a full day, and part of a day. So basically, from the day of Tashmish is day one, 1 is no good, 2 is no good, 3 is no good, 4 is no good. Because the beginning of 4 could be Poletz Shechazera. So therefore, it says, anyone with Meshamesh can't start Shiva Nikim until the fifth day, meaning she could do a Hefzik on the fourth day and Shiva Nikim on the fifth day. That's Vardin. What's the example? Go to Sham Shimshav Motze Shabbos and Meshel Sisbar Yom Chamishi. If the task was on Sunday, meaning Saturday night or Sunday, then the first day of Shiva Nikim could be at the earliest Wednesday night, Thursday.
Why isn't it so sort of like having a Hefzik Tara? I mean, she's doing it so sort of the day before, but it's also the day before.
But the Hefzik Tara doesn't count towards the Shiva Nikim. The Hefzik Tara is just a prelude to the Shiva Nikim. It's just a hechsher of the Shiva Nikim. You don't have to count the day of the Hefzik Tara. That's just to let you count the next day. So remember, it's not like blood. It's only social that day. So fine, it's social that day. That day wasn't more than 7 days. It's not that it ruins your cleanliness. It doesn't mean your cleanliness. It's just a chesaron in the sphera. And the Hefzik Tara is no sphera. Okay. The Kaimelin Shechazim HaSriach. It doesn't spoil and die. Asher Elo Sheishon HaShleimus Me'es Leis. 72 hours. Shimshon Motzei Shabbat Potel Lo Bi. Therefore, she slept with her husband Saturday night. Then on Tuesday night, if she had some plaita, Kodamei Shimusha. Before that time, she slept with her husband at 11 p.m. on Motzei Shabbos. If at 10:50 p.m. on Tuesday night she's pulled like this, a dying human is still on a shishal shemusha. She's still in her sixth ona. Uvisoseris, and that would ruin that day. Helkaf yom chamishi rishon l'sfira. So therefore, Wednesday night, Thursday, the third day of her sphere. Okay, this should all be logical. It's not logical to you raise your hand. Okay, that is now. Is there any possible? Are there any sheets or rishonim who are mekel? I mean, it's simply against the Gemara. But are there any? One of the two sheets of the Rishonim who are Mekel? No. I mean, make all that you don't have to worry about Shippel Zer at all.
The Raibet?
Says the Raibet. Says the Raibet. It's so Sir Yomo Litaros. The Lola Bawa. The Raibet says something. Then we have this Akira in at the very beginning of the year. I think not everyone's out this year. Says the Raibet, there are two different systems of Nita. Taros and Bawa. That's the finish of the Raibet. He says, after all, Poleta Shibazera means she can't be true, right? It means her tarot. Poleta Shibazera doesn't affect her relationship with her husband. He says, no problem. Poleta Shibazera ruins the day for tarot's purposes, but not for Heter her husband purposes, not for Isuribia purposes. And therefore, he says, let's say she's Poleta Shibazera. Great, she can't count that as Shibanakiyam for tarot's, but she can count that as Shibanakiyam for Isuribia for sleeping with her husband. And since nowadays you don't keep tarot's, therefore, there's no problem with letting Shebazera. It's only for Taros. Why? Since Shebazera only affects Taros, it only affects your Shebazera for the purpose of Taros. It's a big finish in the right. We would think either you have Shebazera or you don't. Say, no, no. Everyone has two different fishbones. Do you have this kind of Shebazera? Do you have Bible Shebazera or do you have Yisrael Shebazera and you have Taros Shebazera? You can have one without the other. How are Rebbe Tam, right? That they also put the Kula of Rebbe Tam. What's Rebbe Tam's Kula?
Of two times.
So Sir Yomo Rock him. If your husband is a Zav. Says, why should Zera be so Sir? Seriously, came for Ziva. Shefa Zera and Ziva are two different toes. Now, really, very far from Pashut in the Gemara, they mix the brushes a lot, right? We hear Shona Shel Zav has halos like Shefa Zera. But he says, no, why should Zara's an innocent thing compared to Ziva? I don't know, she touches sherets. Does that ruin her day? She goes to a funeral, does it ruin her day? No, what it means if her husband's a Zav, then that's a Shechla Zara of a Zav. Shechla Zara of a Zav has Ziva in it, both physically and halachically. And therefore, her husband's a Zav, then his Shechla Zara ruins her spheres the king of Ziva. But if her husband's not a Zav, then his Shechla Zara is a totally unrelated Toma. It doesn't hurt her.
There's no concern it's going to cover up some dumb.
No, there's no concern on cover from God. No. That was only because we had a special minhag. What happened?
He was Hoshish all the way into Otisavim.
No, he says he makes it Okimta. That whole Gemara is not talking about everyone. Oh, no. In Har Sinai, it was because even a regular Shechazera, you can't have a revelation of God.
But now.
But the Gemara about the Shemanakiyah was only for Azad. Say, oh, he makes it Okimta. That a Gemara is only talking about a weird case, and yeah, welcome to Talmud Bava. We do that all the time. Basically, when Talmud Sil Kimto, all the discussion of the Shechla Zera being so certain today were only for husbands as up. Because then you have Ziva Shechla Zera. But if you have innocent Shechla Zera, that doesn't hurt anyone. Nowadays, almost no one's a Zav. Nowadays, it seems like we know what a Zav is scientifically. Gonorrhea, which is a sexually transmitted disease that people still have nowadays, but not so many Orthodox Jews. I think we might have a cure for it now. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. You can Google it, how to cure gonorrhea. Okay. I don't want to know what ads Google will show you after that. But. So you might want to be careful. Anyway, according to the Raivet, basically this whole halacha doesn't apply to us because we don't keep taros yet. Or Mashiach comes, but not yet. According to Rabbi Tam, this whole halacha doesn't apply to us unless the man's a zav, which is pretty rare nowadays. I don't think we have so much gonorrhea nowadays. So according to both of these shitas, we don't have to keep this halacha. Do we pass like either of these shitas? Obviously not. There's a fascinating, fascinating Rabadia in the Yechavidasu, Queen Mitzarfi, Shitas, and some tremendous Shasat Chak, etc. Okay, not a case we'll ever deal with.
Why does he need to just clean it?
I think even to count the days of Tashmish.
That's more only by Tessim, really, no? That's not even like, if she's having a Re'iyah, then.
No. I mean, it's okay. It's a case where the It's talking about a weird case where, like, the husband was mishamish as his wife during her shivnikiyim, and she was broke. He wasn't, and he didn't listen to her, and all kinds of weird things. Okay, we're not getting into that now. Vayter lemaisa, we don't really take the sheaves into account. We paskin, you need to wait the 3 days, the 4 days, meaning 72 hours takes 4 days on the calendar. Four dates, let's say the 72 hours is 3 days of time, but it's 4 dates on the calendar. So we paskin need to wait them. We don't rely on either the Ravid or Rabbeinu Tam. Even though, interestingly, the Rashba thought Me'ikra did the Ravid, right? And he was medayik, maybe the Rishon LeRambam hold like the Ravid, because they never broke down this halacha. But nonetheless, it's an argument from silence. So we don't rely on the Ravid.
So just in terms of how to respond to Rabbeinu Tam, so what is the overarching, like the topic of Tuma? Like,
The answer is Tuma. I mean, it's Tuma Yotzel Migufo is one category, and all the Tumas Migufo have some common denominator, which means that when you have one, you can't count it as a cure for the other. I mean, physical cure, I mean, purity cure, Taurus cure. That all Tumas Yotzel Migufo are one framework, which is not so crazy because Chazal even darshan that the first Re'i of Azav counts like Shechla Zera, and there's a heckish there. So there's already what to talk about. Okay, Vayter. Let's continue then. That is the Mechaber. What does the Mechaber say? You need 4 days. She is not countable for 4 days after Tashmish, right? Because 4 days, four dates. 3 days in hours and minutes, but 4 dates on the calendar after Tashmish, meaning if Tashmish was on Motzei Shabbos, then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, she can't count. She does her hefsek Wednesday afternoon and starts Shivnikiyim on Wednesday night and goes to the mikvah next Wednesday night, assuming she's clean. Obviously, if her period lasts longer than that, then there's nothing to talk about, right? This is only enough benina for a woman's period stop. Her period didn't stop, then of course she can't count Shivnikiyim. She's still bleeding, right? Most women have no nafkamina most of the time from this sif, Shulchan Aruch. Wait, my period, I bleed for 5 days. What do I care when I'm allowed to start counting Shivnikiyim? I'm not clean yet. No nafkamina. But theoretically, okay, says the Mechaber, 4 days from Tashmish. Okay, and how many ways there are among the Machir? These two in this sif. In this sif, two. Right?
Yeah.
And in Yud Gimel, a third. Says the Rama, Posek, Tipsok Yom Revi, Leis Erev, Yom Chamisha, Ola Minyan Shiva. Fine, that's what the Machir says. Yesha Kasfu, Sheish Lahamten, Od Yom Echad, you should wait another day. You should wait 5 and 7. Dahainish Lo Tassel, Limnos, Yom Ashishi. Only the 6th day should become the Shiva Nikiyam. Why? Far out. This is a chash in Shuas Hadeshin. That's way far out. Right? Okay, he gets it from, this is also found in the Ma'aril, and et cetera. He quotes Shuas Hadesh. Well, let's finish it. Maybe she'll sleep with her husband on Yom Rishon at the exact borderline, near the borderline. And she'll think it's the daytime, and it's really the nighttime. And if she only counts 4 days and starts on the 5th day, it'll still be within 72 hours. Add one more day, and then you can't get to a tol. Trumas Hadeshin, Ba'agur, B'Shem Ma'aril, B'Shari Dura, B'Shem Ma'aril, B'Shari Dura, U'Ma'arik. Okay.
A 5th day. Where did the 5th day come from? Now, we can even mean far out of Shash. What's the only reason that Minik Ashkenaz was to be choshish for this crazy far out shash? Probably because almost all women's periods last 5 days anyway. So therefore, you know, all the women waited 5 days anyway. 5 days, the average period anyway. So therefore, it's not really such a chomer. All the chomer was is for that small minority of women whose period lasted 3 or 4 days, acted like the rest of the women. Okay, I don't think that they would have been machmer on everyone for this chash. But since it's only machmer for a small minority of women whose period is less than 5 days, which is pretty rare,
Therefore, for a weird case where someone just bleeds for one day and it's not their typical period, which is very rare, since only in rare cases, they have this chomer yaseva, tremendous chomer, the trumas hadeshen, udi'imei, that says the Ramah, 5 days. Why 5 days? Because of Bein HaShemashos. What do we mean by Bein HaShemashos? That maybe what's the chash of Bein HaShemashos? That maybe her tashmish was Sunday Bein HaShemashos. And what will she think? And what is really true? The Tashmish, she'll think the Tashmish was Sunday. But really, it was Monday. She'll think the Tashmish was Sunday while it was still daytime. But really, it was Monday after it was dark. Right? Maybe it's been a shmoso, she's not sure if it was day or night, or she's tracking the clock and the sun. And therefore, what will be the problem? When is day one, day two, day three, day four? She'll think Sunday is day one, Monday is day two, Tuesday is day three, Wednesday is day four, and then she'll say day one of Shivan Akiyan is Thursday, but really day one is Monday, day two is Tuesday, day three is Wednesday, day four is Thursday. Really, Thursday's within 72 hours. And really, she will let this on Thursday, and it won't count. So she'll be counting the day of Shiva Nikim. That doesn't really count. And then she'll be going through it without a proper Shiva Nikim and doing an Avera. So therefore, what did we say? We said, no problem. We said, no problem. That if you make this new minhag, then what's going to happen in this case? Day five will be, according to what she thinks, day five will be Thursday. Day one of Shiva Nikim should be Friday, right? We make new minhag, old din versus new minhag, and day one of Shiva Nikim will be Friday, and she'll be doing the din. Basically, what's the point of new minhag? Even if she makes a mistake, she'll be doing the din. The din is Thursday is day four and Friday starts Shiva Nikiyah. She'll think Wednesday is day four and starts Shiva Nikiyah on Thursday. That'll be enough Avera. So we say, no, add day five. So she'll say, fine, day five is Thursday. Starts Shiva Nikiyah on Friday. And then she'll be doing the din without realizing it. She won't know why, but she'll be doing the din. She'll be doing the din for the wrong reason. She'll think Friday is after day five. But at least Friday is after day four and she'll be keeping the din. Basically, in common sense, if you're afraid someone will be off by one day, if you always make them add one day, they'll be safe. Now, this is a far out shash. Only if her tash was being a shmashos and she makes a mistake about it. But why did they make such a far out shash? If you ask me, I think because most women wait 5 days anyway. So like, you know, maybe the woman admitted a blow plug and they were happy to do this and it made things simple. Who knows? Lamaisa, so that's minig ashkenaz. And again, it's not such a big chumrah. Say, Ashkenaz or super machir, give this weird, far out shash, one in a million shash, we make everyone wait another day before sleeping with their husband? No, most women's period is 5 days anyway, so you don't make them do anything. It's only the small minority of cases where your period is less than 5 days. Then, because this far out shash, we make you wait an extra day. Okay, that's minig Ashkenaz, we like to be machir. But again, we're only machir in a small minority of cases. Almost everyone's period lasts 5 days anyway. That is the minag Ashkenaz. Let's continue. Some women count 7 and 7, right? Meaning they don't do Hezekiah until day 7, and then they start counting Shiva Nikiyah. They ain't Tam Ladover. There's no reason for it whatsoever. So wants to be Machmer, fine, do what you want. So if you're Mekel, you get Schar for getting earlier to the mitzvah of Ona, the wife sleeping with her husband. So basically, the Ramah says there's no reason for this whatsoever. Okay, the Taz says, not to justify, just to explain it. Maybe it comes from, remember that old Rebbe Tam about how they used to toll twice, once after the Nidadoraisa, once after the Rabbanan. And so maybe the Minna to toll after 7 days for Nidadoraisa, and then start counting Shiva Nikiyah. Only when you finish the Nidud Arayis they count the Shemini Tiyah. So maybe, there's a lot of maybe there was once a Nidud total twice after Tomei Arayis after Tomei Karbana, which is a big maybe. And maybe they didn't start counting the Shemini Tiyah until after the first Tefillah, which is a maybe. And maybe they kept doing that even after they stopped telling them twice. Okay, maybe. But even if all those maybes are true, it's still not a good enough reason. It's just an explanation for something. It's still not justified. Well, mice, it's not justified. I heard that, interestingly, no Ashkenazi keep this anymore. He doesn't know a lot. I heard there are some Spartans who still keep this. Someone told me that in Iran, they still keep it. That in Iraq, the Benish Chai mentioned that you could keep this. I don't know. But someone told me that Iran people used to keep this. I would guess once they left Iran, they probably stopped. But I have to ask some Persian Jews or Jewesses. Lamaisa, one shouldn't keep this. Okay, whatever. If that's your family, then what am I supposed to do? Then I'm not going to fight with you. But it's certainly not encouraged. Okay. The Yesha Kasu, New Chumra. All of this is from last Tashmish. Not everyone's Mishamish up to the time they get their period. What if the last Tashmish was a week before her period? Then she didn't have to worry at all because all the Shechon Zera is gone, right? Says Rama, not so fast. The Yesh Shekasu Sha'achav Ein Lechal Gen Shimshim Ba'al Lo Shimsha. The Chol Isha Sha'ra'a Ba'afilu Kesem Shrichol Hamten Chomisha Yamim Im Yom Sha'rasa Wom Tishok Deis Erev Tishma Shem Nekiyam Chaynon Yom Dius Eil Ve'in Lashados. Says Rama, not from Tashmish. From the Dam. From the Dam. From when she becomes a Nida, she has to wait 5 days. And then on the fifth day, you have to power up if she's clean. And then start counting Shemini Tiyah. Why? Let's say she was Mishamish for 5 days before she got her period. So obviously she was no Shechon Zera. After she was no Zera, she wasn't Mishamish. The answer is Zera Shimsha to Lo Shimsha. We make a Zera like a whole plug. We don't know if she was Mishamish or she wasn't, but she could have been Mishamish up to her period. Up to when she bled, she could have been Mishamish. Since she could have been Mishamish, we go Zera up in case she was Mishamish. We don't want to differentiate whether she was or not. As long as she could have been Mishamish, you make it Zera. This is called Zera Atu Ein Hashmashos. This is called Zera Lo Shemsha Atu Shemsha. Okay, Ashkenazim have a lot of Zeras. Again, it seems like we're crazy, but the truth is these Zeras hardly have an effect. Because a normal woman bleeds for 5 days anyway, so of course she can't do a hefsek tahara until the fifth day after she bleeds. It's only in rare cases where this would actually be a chumra for someone.
What is the difference if you're machmir for shach on the rezeru and you're koreish like 2 days
before? No, but it doesn't matter, because if you can bleed for 5 days, then you have to wait 5 days after you bleed anyway. Keep in mind, this is all only if you're clean. If you're not, if you're still bleeding, of course you can't count Shemini Tiyah. Yeah. Right? So it's only if you're not bleeding, you have enough kamina. Most women are bleeding for 5 days, whether it's Spartan or Ashkenazi. So it doesn't make enough kamina. Only in rare cases it can make enough kamina. Certainly the Shul Shisha Atu Shemsha, what do you mean? So for Spartan, we don't index Zera. So if she wasn't a shaman for a few days, she could do a Hepatic Tower right after she starts bleeding? No. She's going to keep bleeding for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah,
right. The nafkamina would be, let's say, for a kesem or for some weird mid-cycle bleeding, etc. Right. The nafkamina would be for rare cases. For rare cases, correct. Nafkamina for rare cases or for rare individuals, very short periods. Correct. I mean, everyone will probably have that case once in their life, right? But not for everyday cases.
If halakhically they couldn't have tashmish,
great question. Does the Gzera Lo Shimsha Atu Shimsha Lo Shimsha Atu Shimsha apply if they halachically couldn't have Tashmish? So that is a great question. One second. The it's not really so mafurish on the page, I admit. Let's see some case similar to this. Right? What if look at the Piskei Tshuva Sifkatan in Tes
Well, okay, that's not really such a good one. All right, so it's not really found on the daf. But what if she luckily couldn't have Tashmish? Like, for example, Avimus, Lo Aleinu, or Yom Kippur, or Vestos, right? Etc.
Or a Kala.
Or a Kala, right? A Kala who luckily couldn't have Tashmish because she's not married, right? Now, Kala might be even more Kala because not only couldn't she have Tashmish, she doesn't even like she's not even connected to someone to be Mishamish with. A Kala is more mukta from Tashmish than a married woman in Kippur, perhaps. Because like she doesn't even have, she's not even living with someone. But this is a big machlok. Because what if the doctor said not to be Tashmish? Right? The doctor said, no, no, doctor's orders that it's dangerous, refrain from Tashmish. What are all those cases? Those are all very controversial in modern day poskim. I didn't really put it out, sorry. Lemaisa, Ray Willig makes a pshara. The big machlok in the poskim, Ray Willig's pshara is if the halacha prohibited Tashmish, then you can start counting it towards the 5 days. Because there's no gzera. You couldn't have been the shamish. The gzera is only when you could have been the shamish. If it was halachically forbidden, then you could start counting the 5 days because it's halachically forbidden. But if the doctor forbid you from doing tashmish, then you can't. Because the halacha has to assume people follow the halacha. Most people don't listen to the doctors. I know someone from the halacha to listen to doctors, and I'll say I know, but Lemaisa, for some reason, I never see people doing it. I am the entire last, however long, whatever, etc. And many other cases. Anyway, halacha Lemaisa is a good question. Does Zera Shimsha law to Shimsha apply when there was an Isser Tashmish? So that's controversial. Sorry, Willie says if there's a halachic Isser Tashmish, then there's no Zera. But if there's a medical Isser Tashmish, there is a Zera because from people listen to halacha more than they listen to doctors.
I mean, in the case of Ein Baal Be'ir, it seems.
Ah, what about Ein Baal Be'ir? Good. Okay, so let's. Right. Everything's mutter. We just have to get to why. Lemaisa, okay, there's a lot we need to say. We don't have a lot of time to say it. Okay. You're gonna let me catch up, right? This is Sunday Shir and I stole Tuesday Shir.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to catch up. I apologize that we have been a lot of Shir. What?
Who's ever trying to catch it?
I'm trying to catch leaving us time to learn Duffus Avelis. It's not that I'm trying to keep up with where you are in Seder, that I'm trying to give up where you should be in Seder so that we can have time to learn Hilchos Avelos. There is pressure. It's not like Bavasra Shir where, one must stop Bavasra. So the Seder, you'll have to make it up in Midas Man and Junior Shemayim. But over here, we don't finish the old halachas we finished, and I get fired for not doing my job teaching in Smicha. And you wouldn't want me to get fired. I might affect my shell bias. So there is pressure. Basically, what do I want to do? What I need to do is this. In what case is there a moment that we don't have to make a gzera? And are there any cases where he's moment that we don't even have to add a fifth day? That's going to be basically our voda to get to halacha lemaisa. And then the rest of the siman is pretty straightforward. But it's going to be a lot. And we're not going to finish it now, so I don't want to start it now. Whatever. We're not getting 3 hours sure. Anyway, I think we'll stop now. And again, what are we going to pick up with? We're going to pick up with basically this one question, and then the rest of the siman should flow pretty quickly. Someone remind me, Michael. Also, we should talk about artificial insemination during Shabbat Kiyum. But not in Sif Yud Aleph,
in Sif Yud Beis. Okay? Remind me in Sif Yud Beis to talk about artificial insemination, Ma'aseh B'chol Yom. Again, the first thing we'll pick up with is there any cases where, now remember, don't get me wrong. I don't want someone to go out and hear a paska that a woman starts shimming the kiyum when she's still bleeding. If a woman's bleeding, there's nothing to talk about. She can't start shimming the kiyum, she's still bleeding. The only nafkamina is she's not bleeding after 1, 2, 3, or 4 days. Is there any room to be made? Let's start counting shimming the kiyum against the Ramah. And that's what we will try to figure out. We'll pick up, is there any room to not make Xavier to just count from Tashmish instead of when she bled? Or is there any room to only count 4 days instead of 5 days? Again, all assuming she's clean. If she's not clean, there's nothing you can do about it. That we'll pick up with next time, and we'll finish the simon, and we'll go on and start the next simon. The Vada will start the next simon, and get through a decent chunk of the next simon. So we will pick up with that in Mirat Hashem on Sunday. I will wish everyone a good Shabbos.
Do you want to do Parsha Bites?
Do I want to do Parsha Bites? Sure. Can someone
have
Parsha Bites?
Yeah.
Hold on. I thought we had substitute Parsha Bites.